Missionary Heart, Number 2, an exposition of Romans chapter 16, verses 1 through 23. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, June the 13th, 2010.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the assurance that is ours, for the grace and mercy that has been given to us in Christ. And I pray that as we come to your word, that you will open it to us. I pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take the truth of your word, make application to our hearts. Speak to us that word that we need to hear, that word that will challenge, that word that will enable us and equip us to be the people that you desire us to be. As you speak, grant to us eyes to see, ears to hear, and the courage and the boldness to live out this truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My favorite philosopher is the great Yogi Berra. Yogi has given us some great insight, insight that is important for living, insight that can really teach you a lot about life. Yogi gave us insight like, it ain't over until it's over. And when you come to a fork in the road, take it. Of course, Yogi also claimed, I didn't say all of those things I said. But my favorite Yogiism is, you can observe a lot just by watching. And you have to admit that's true. It's also true that you can learn a lot by listening. Because you can learn a lot about a person by the kinds of things they say. If you listen carefully to conversations, you learn what's important to them. You learn what they value. And you learn a whole lot about their life and their way of living and their way of thinking just by paying attention to their conversation. Especially if you listen to those offhand comments. If you listen to them in those unguarded moments, those incidental kinds of statements. Now, because you can learn so much from those, it's a mistake when we skip over certain passages of Scripture. But let's be honest, there are those passages that we do skip over, and they tend to have a lot of names in them. When you and I are reading along in the Old Testament and we come to those genealogies, we read maybe the first name or two and then we go, well, this is just ridiculous. And we skip down to, okay, now we're through with the names. Now there must be something important. The same thing is true in the New Testament. When you come to a passage like Romans 16 and the closing of Paul's letter to the church at Rome, and there's that long list of names. He's just greeting people, so we either skip over it or we give it a cursory reading, and that's a mistake because there are some important things to learn in that. There are some valuable lessons that can be drawn from those closing words. So let's not skip over it because I think we learn something wonderful. We get insight into the heart of this great servant of Christ if we pay attention to these words. Last time in Romans 15, we talked about a missionary heart, and we said that it reveals something about the heart of Paul as we walked through the 15th chapter, that he saw all of life as service to God, that as far as Paul was concerned, everything he did, he had on priestly robes, and he was offering sacrifice unto God, and so the most mundane task became an act of great worship. And when you view life as that way, that everything I do is service to God and everything I do is service to the kingdom of Christ, there are no mundane tasks. Everything is service to the Lord, and so it's important and it has value. We also saw that the heart of a missionary focuses on God's glory, and that is foremost in their mind at all time. And because of that, they dare to dream big things, and they understand they cannot accomplish the task alone. And so Paul pled with the folks in Rome, join with me in praying. But that's vertical. That's about my relationship with God and my dealing with God. What about the horizontal? What about our dealing with each other? What about our dealing with our fellow man? That's what Romans 16 is about. And that's our text this morning. Romans chapter 16. We're going to begin at verse 1 And we're going to read down through verse 23. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever way she may need from you, for she's been a patron of many and of myself as well. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church and their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampletius, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Stachys. Greet Apelles, who is approved of Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen of the Lord. Also his mother, who's been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but rather their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is well known to all, so that I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow servant or worker, greets you. So do Lucius and Jason and Sopater and my kinsmen. I, Tertius, who wrote this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, who is host to me and to the whole church, greets you. Erastus, the city treasurer, and our brother Quartus, greet you. It's a man of great intellect. The Apostle Paul was a highly educated and very intellectual man, having the equivalent of multiple doctorate degrees. He was a man who was unquestionably spiritual. He is a man of great insight who loved Christ, who is author of roughly half of the New Testament. He's a pioneer for the gospel and of the kingdom of Christ. But what I'm really interested in is his heart. And as we walk through the 16th chapter together, we learn something of the missionary heart of this great servant of Christ. Three things I want to point out to you as we make our way through this text. The first is found in those first 16 verses, and that is that a missionary heart loves profoundly. A missionary heart loves profoundly. One who's going to be used of Christ in impacting the world, one who's going to be used of Christ in reaching people, is a heart that loves profoundly. And Paul was a man of great love. He was a man whose heart overflowed with love. If this long list of names and greetings teaches us anything at all, it teaches us that Paul had a love for people. I mean, you look at the number of people that he names, and he knows who they are and he knows where they are. 27 specific individuals are named. Others are referred to. It is clear in the language that Paul has great affection for these folks. I think that's important because Most of us, if we're honest, when we think about the Apostle Paul, the first thing to come to our mind is not necessarily he's a loving guy. When we think of Paul, we think about his intellect. We think about his spiritual insight. We think of him as the Apostle Paul. We think of him as that missionary who had the kind of strength and fortitude that though he was shipwrecked and though he was beaten with rods and though he was stoned and left for dead, he got back up, marched back in the city and preached the gospel again. And we think of all of that power and we think of all of that knowledge and we don't think of him as loving. We certainly don't think of him as a regular guy. When I think about the Apostle Paul, I think of him in these terms. If someone were to say to me, Rod, tomorrow you're going to get to spend the evening with the Apostle Paul. Now, if that's going to happen tomorrow, guess what I'd be doing today? I'd be studying the whole day. I'd be reading everything I could read. I'd be thinking through everything, and I'd be so nervous because I think he's going to ask me a question and I'm not even going to know what he's talking about. I don't think of him in terms of just a regular guy that you could just have dinner with and laugh. It's not how I think of him. Beyond that, when I'm reading Scripture as Paul has written it, I think warm isn't the first thing to come to my mind, honestly. Because when I think of Paul, I think about his letter to the Galatians. And I think about that first chapter when he thunders, I'm telling you, if anybody comes preaching a gospel different than the one we preach to you, let them be damned. Now, I said it before, let me say it again, let me be real clear. There are those among you preaching another gospel, and may they be damned. And my first thought isn't, what a loving guy. What a caring, compassionate. I could just hang out with him. I bet he'd be a lot of fun. That's honestly not the first thing that comes to my mind. But it's clear in this passage, it's filled with the language of love. Now, you get your picture this in your mind. You understand what's going on. Paul's writing this letter of introduction, and he's dictating it. We even got the name of the man writing it, Tertius. He's the secretary. He's the amanuensis. He's the person that's taking down the letter as Paul's dictating. So you get this picture of Paul pacing as he's belting out the great doctrine of this book. And then he comes to the end of it and he says, now, let's be sure and greet Phoebe. Let's be sure and greet. And he starts naming them. And he not only knows their names, he knows they're in Rome, and he knows something about their condition. Now that's amazing. I don't know about you, but I sometimes struggle with names. You know, that embarrassing moment when you're introducing someone and you say, John, I want you to meet, and she says, your mother. Say, oh, yes, my mother. You have that moment when you're introducing somebody that you've known for a long time and you can't think of their name? Now, I hope I haven't done this to you, but I have been known to be praying with someone in the hospital and after visiting for 20 minutes, take their hand and start to pray and have that thought, I can't remember her name. And I've just been talking with her 20 minutes and I know her name like the back of my... And I'm just blank. Paul knows all these names. I mean, it's amazing to me. Paul doesn't say, greet that guy I saw in... He calls every one of them by name. And he knows something about where they are right now. What I want you to understand is that takes effort. It takes effort now. It really took effort in the first century. He knows them. And he knows where they are geographically and spiritually. Do you understand how significant that is? We're talking the first century. It's not like Paul's sitting at his laptop and he's got Facebook up and he's looking at his friend page and he can read all the names. Oh yeah, I'll greet them. He doesn't have that. And he can't get on his computer and with a few clicks of the mouse know where they are and what's going on. Instead, as Paul's traveling in the first century, when he is in this port getting ready to board a ship to head somewhere else, he's saying, have you heard anything about Tryphena and Tryphosa? Do you know how they're doing? When he saw anybody traveling through that he heard had been in Rome, he says, tell me, do you know Hermes? And is he still in the faith? Is he still walking in obedience to Christ? Every little word he could get, he's trying to gather all of this information. He cares and he loves enough that he's keeping up with these people. There are 27 people named and others referred to that are in the church at Rome. Think about it. 27 people and the others that he knows as he refers to them. But Paul has never been to Rome. These are people he's met as he's traveled the known world preaching the gospel. And he might have met them over here and he met them for a couple of days before he moved over there. But he knows their name and he knows where they are and he knows what they're doing. I'm going to suggest to you that you don't do that without love. Without genuine love, you don't work that hard to keep up. And so what I'm telling you, when I read the first 16 verses of Romans 16 and I stumble through those names, their significance, it reveals a loving heart because every name was a person and Paul cared about each of those persons. You remember when Paul's talking to the church at Thessalonica and he's reminiscing with them about his time with them and he describes his labor among them and he says, I was like a mother to you. I was caring for you. I was feeding you. I was loving you. See, Paul was a great mind. Paul was a great leader. Paul was a great theologian. But Paul was also a man with a caring, loving, gracious heart. And the heart of a missionary is a heart that loves profoundly. Yes, he is the Apostle Paul. Yes, he is all of those great and strong things, but he is also this loving, gracious, caring pastor. Take a look at just a couple of the folks as we read down through the list together. He doesn't have just a passing interest in these folks. It's a deep care and concern. He says to them, I want to commend to you our sister Phoebe. In fact, he says four things about her, four titles he grants to her. You know, the other interesting thing about this list is how many women are mentioned, which was really unheard of in Paul's day. He speaks of Phoebe, who he calls our sister. He calls her the servant of Christ. He calls her a saint and a patron. Now, it's interesting. The word that he uses when he says this servant of the church at Cenchrea is this word diakonos. It's the word deacon. Greet Phoebe, the deacon from the church at Cenchrea. She is a servant to the church. She is a person recognized for servanthood in that particular church. And he also says of her, she's a patron. And the word means someone who oversees. It means someone who provides. So this is a woman of influence who was a great help to Paul and many others. And Paul says, greet her. She should be received and welcome as one worthy of the saints. And you need to help her in whatever way she needs because she's been a great help to me and many others. There's reference in verses 3 and 4 to Prisca and Aquila, or Priscilla and Aquila. We're familiar with them from the book of Acts. These are folks who risked their neck for Paul. These are folks that in Ephesus put their lives on the line for him. And he says, greet them and the church that meets in their house. He refers to the first convert in Asia in verse 15. His fellow prisoners in Christ in verse 17. Apelles, who is approved of Christ in verse 10. That means one who has been tested and found faithful. He refers to twins in verse 12. Tryphena and Tryphosa. More than likely they're twins because the names are kind of a wordplay. Actually, their names mean dainty and delicate. And Paul says those laborers in Christ. And the word that he used, labor, means to labor to exhaustion. So he's saying dainty and delicate are anything but when it comes to service to Christ. Be sure and greet them for me. Tell them I love them. That I'm thinking about them. He refers to Rufus in verse 16. Chosen of Christ. There is reference in Mark chapter 15. Simon of Cyrene, who was called upon to carry the cross of Christ. And you'll remember that as Christ is making his way to Golgotha. And under the weight of the crossbeam, he collapses and they pulled one Simon of Cyrene to carry his cross. And reference is given to him, Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. And Mark makes mention of that most likely because Mark is writing his gospel to the Romans. Now Paul says, greet Rufus, son of Simon, and his mother as well because she's been a mother to me. Somebody who lovingly and cared for the Apostle Paul. Here is this loving missionary heart overflowing as he greets those. How loving was Paul? Loving enough that the church at Galatia, there's reference, Paul refers to them in Galatians 4 and verse 15 and says, you know, the folks there who would have been willing to pluck out their own eyes and give them to me if possible. Paul apparently having some kind of eye condition and said, they would be willing to give their own eyes for me in love. He was a loving man who was loved in return. And a mark of a missionary heart is that it overflows with love. Does that mark you? People, when they listen to your conversation, if they overhear, if they hear an unguarded comment, would their conclusion be, he's a loving man? She is a loving woman. I'm not asking if they listen to your speech in Sunday school or if they listen to your public comments when you know people are listening. I mean, in unguarded moments as people watch and listen, would their conclusion be you are a loving person? The heart of a missionary is one that overflows with profound love for people. But second, and really the outgrowth of the first one, is that a missionary heart is passionate about truth. That's in verse 17 down through verse 20. This is only natural. If you are loving, then you want to protect. Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, watch out for those who cause division, who create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ. Rather, they serve their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. Your obedience is known to all. Because of that, I rejoice over you. But I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent as to what is evil. Paul says three things to the believers at Rome. The first thing is you need to be cautious about those who create division. Watch out, he says. Be on guard. Be aware. for those who cause division. Paul had no sympathy for theological indifference. It does matter what you listen to. It does matter what you read. And we in the church are called to be on guard about those who cause. We must know who those are who are off base. Love and truth are not opposites. It's not a matter that you need to decide what are you going to be as a Christian, whether you're going to be loving or you're going to be a champion for truth. It's not a matter that we as a church need to decide whether we're going to be known for the truth or whether we're going to be known for love. Those two ought not to be in conflict. We ought to be full of love, overflowing with grace and mercy. And because we are, we care about what is true and what is right. They go together. Truth and grace have their being in the person of Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 1. Grace and truth have their being in Christ. Therefore, grace and truth matter to the people of God. So, be on guard. Be aware. Be mindful of those who cause division. But it's not enough merely to be aware. He says to them, secondly, you must avoid them. Be aware, look out, be careful of those who cause division, who throw obstacles in the way, those who are off base and who are creating problems in the church. And he didn't just say, now be aware of it in case it happens, but he says, be aware of it and avoid them. Have nothing to do with them. Don't be a party to it. Don't stand for it. Don't allow it. We have a responsibility in the church to guard truth. We have a responsibility in the church to take the truth of Christ, which has once and for all been given to the church, and we in turn hand that to the generations that follow us. We have a divine obligation to guard the truth. That's an obligation of love. They're not opposites. They're not contrary. They fit perfectly together. And a missionary heart is one that is loving, that overflows with love and kindness and grace and mercy toward others. And because it does, it cares about what is true and what is right, so that it seeks to protect. Paul doesn't even end there. He goes further to say that we are to be a people who are wise about what is good and innocent as to what is evil. He's just reflecting the teaching of Jesus from Matthew 10 when Jesus says to his disciples, you're to be as shrewd as snakes and yet as innocent as doves. We are to be innocent about what's evil, meaning not that we're unaware, not that we have no understanding, but we're innocent in that we're not caught up in it. That we're wise when it comes to that which is good, because we're in constant pursuit of it. We're in an unsatisfiable pursuit of love and mercy and kindness and grace, that which is good. A missionary heart loves profoundly and is passionate about truth. And the third thing is there at the very end, a missionary heart is contagious in its enthusiasm. You got the scene again? Paul's pacing back and forth and Paul's dictating his letter and Paul's thinking of people. And you can see the twinkle in his eye as he remembers one of them, and he stops and he says, oh, and make sure you greet Herodian. Oh, make sure that you say hello to Tryphena and Tryphosa, and as he does, he can catch the little glimpse, and maybe he stopped and told a story. Maybe as he called out their name, he says, yeah, okay, greet those laborers in the Lord, Tryphene and Tryphosa. You remember the time that those two women, you remember what they did? And the whole group says, oh, I remember that. And as he's doing it, Timothy says, hey, tell them hello for me too. And Erastus and the others who are there say, me too. Gaius says, hey, tell them hello for me. They're getting caught up in the joy and the enthusiasm. That's why I think it's a mistake just to glance at it or just to pass over it when there's so many rich, valuable lessons to be learned. If you just slow down. The heart of a missionary loves profoundly, is passionate about the truth, and is infectious, contagious with its enthusiasm. Now here's what I want to ask you. Are these things true about you? Your heart overflows with love. You're passionate about what's true and right. And you're infectious with your enthusiasm. Can I ask the really hard question? If you have a visitor in your Sunday school class, do they leave saying about your class, that is one loving bunch who are passionate about truth? And I don't even know those people, but I got caught up in the joy that I saw in that class. Would they say that? What about if they're in this service? Do they get any sense of that? Is that what we are known for? I want it to be true. I pray that it be true, but I don't know that it's true. Because these are things that have to be genuine. Can't be worked up. Can't be a matter that we get a group of people together and we meet early on Sunday morning and we coach it and we say, now here's what you got to do. You got to make sure. You got to make sure that when somebody walks in, you got to hit them, and you got to make sure that they know. You got to make sure they know you love them. You got to make sure they know that we're enthused. It just needs to be the flow of our life. And they get caught up in it. People don't get caught up in hype because they're not really all that impressed with performance. But when they see the real and genuine article, they're drawn to it. It's got to be the overflow of our heart. That our heart, that the core of who we are as individuals, and then the truth of who we are as a body, is that we love profoundly. And we're passionate. We care about the truth. And we're enthusiastic about this whole thing. That's a missionary heart. And I pray it becomes our heart together. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a good and gracious God. a merciful Father. And I pray that you work in us these characteristics. As we together, as your people, seek to live the truth together, may these marks, these characteristics become increasingly true of us as individuals and as a body together. And may we be genuine missionaries with loving hearts, sold and passionate on the truth, and contagious in our enthusiasm. Grant that it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.